broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
It's a double rant with Ben Rimmelauer and Stephanie Johnson. We're talking Luann de Lesseps' cabaret show with the director himself, Katy Perry's public apology to Taylor Swift, and an OC Housewives Season 13 preview. And we question, is it appropriate to wear a Marquesa gown? That and more right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by writer and director Ben Rimmelauer. Welcome to the rants.
Hi.
Hello. Calling in from New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. It's a Sunday evening, and so we're going to just talk about the latest and greatest, and then we're going to get into a little bit more about Ben and the projects that he's working on, so let's get into it. Let's go. American Idol has been picked up for a second season. I've been watching on your projects that you watch American Idol and on ABC. How are you feeling about it? How do you feel about this pickup?
I was seduced by Ada Vox. And
oh, okay, yeah.
Now my heart isn't in it. I'm like, they should go away again. Who wants this stupid show?
Well, that's how I've been feeling about it. I've been bitching about this show from the very beginning when it was announced. So, and I'm not surprised looking at ABC, and I tweeted about this, just listed off a name of shows that, you know, they greenlight and they keep on that are long done. And so, of course, American Idol, I'm not the least bit surprised that they would bother keeping this around. It must be worth it for them. I mean, it has to be, but I mean, the show is just has such like negative energy around it. I feel like it's not taken seriously. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, exactly like that. I mean, but you know, I mean, I'm sure they're making money if they're renewing it. I mean, you know, it's all bottom line. So, you know,
it's
almost like beside the point whether it's like good or not.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I mean, there's no bigger advocate for alternative unscripted TV than me. But even this show, like these music shows, like this one in particular, I'm not here for it. And I still haven't seen a thing, except I've been making fun of the promos because they're trying to make, of course, the promos are trying to make it look like everybody's watching.
Yeah.
So I can't take that. Katy Perry, famously on the show, famously miscast, in my opinion, on the show.
Yeah.
In other news, she sent Taylor Swift a real olive branch on the opening night of her tour. What do you think? A stunt or what?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't give a shit about these little bitches. You know, like, I've stopped caring about, like, new pop singers, you know, when Whitney died. Or, I don't know, maybe, like, when Whitney, like, had her last hit. I mean, Katy Perry, I like some of her songs. Taylor Swift, I really don't get the whole thing. So anything that they calculatedly do to each other in their, you know, manipulating the press, I'm just totally bored by.
Are you Team Britney by any chance? Are you on Team Britney?
No, like, I'm such an old crank. Like, even Britney is, like, you know, I mean, like, it's been so long now that, like, I like some of her random old stuff. Like, you know, like, I mean, not that random, you know, the major A-sides, like, Oops, I Did It Again or whatever.
Right, right.
But, like, but when those songs came out, I was like, what the this is like, what happened to all the art of the 90s? What is this like mass produced shit? And so I'm more into Britney as a celebrity who's been on a roller coaster and the Vegas thing. You know, I sort of like that about her more. You know, I don't know the difference between her music since Toxic and Taylor Swift or anything, you know?
Right. Like, you're like one of those, like Wendy Williams says, like, no more new music, just play the hits, you know, just do the hits and roll on. And yeah, look, I mean, I'm loyal to her.
There are new people that come along that make me pay attention. I mean, I loved Amy Winehouse. I mean, I love Lady Gaga, you know.
Right.
But I mean, I know those are both more than 10 years old, but
that's fine. No, I mean, I feel like you, as you age, and I'm up against the same thing, like, I'm less open to caring about the next, like, quick hit, like the next here and gone. Like, I mean, there are a few, obviously there are a few that stand out that have talent, but yeah, I mean, I'm not like going through Nickelodeon waiting for like the next Ariana Grande. So
yeah,
and I don't even care about her anyway.
Exactly the same.
So back to this mess with Katy Perry and all this. So now there's a bunch of back and forth. If Taylor, if she shouldn't have put it, the video on Snapchat of the note and the olive branch that was sent. I mean, does Taylor really need to promote this tour? I mean, it's already got record numbers. Do you think this should have been private? Do you not even care? Like, I mean, like, who cares? But, like, I want to know your thoughts on this. This is supposed to be a big moment in pop culture, or at least we're being told.
Well, why should it be private? I mean, it's, you know, they might, if they can, whether it's sincere or not, it certainly is, like, calculated to the extent that it's done in the public eye for attention, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why start now, I guess, being private? Why start now?
Yeah.
Yeah. The letter was addressed to an old friend. I mean, it just seems so set up. And I don't know what they even need to be bothered with squashing this feud. I love a good, healthy feud. So I don't know why everything needs to be so kumbaya. You know, just you see each other. You're okay.
I agree.
You know, you're okay not being in each other's orbit. What does everything have to be so cool for?
Totally.
So, yeah, I mean, one other olive branch. I guess there will be one feud going because there'll be no olive branch between Kim K and Taylor. Now, I don't talk about the Kardashians on this show. I go out of my way not to, but I like to know if there's something out there still brewing. So,
yeah.
Taylor talked about it on tour. Again, why is she doing this? What is, she doesn't need any of this press. She's already selling out these shows.
Yeah. Well, but you know, the thing is, though, I mean, it's not just about selling out the shows. It's, you know, part of the reason that their shows sell out so good is it's sort of like the difference between having enough money to pay this month's rent or paying your rent for the next 5 years. You know, yeah, the show is sold out and the stuff they do keeps their brand at a premium so they know next year's shows are going to sell out, you know.
So it's like long-term planning with the feud.
I think so. I think it really is. I mean, there's corporate interests and these things, you know, social media is not an accident.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are worse things to be in than a fight with the Kardashians. I mean, that'll give you years of relevancy. So,
I know. I wish they would fight with me.
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe I should start talking about them on the show. Maybe Chris will get involved.
Yeah.
Well, I think this thing I wrote here in my notes, I said best thing to happen to Taylor. Like, honestly, like you said, it buys her so much insurance. It allows people to take sides. The Katy Perry thing is OLD and now it's done. So, you know, at least this gives her a leap into future feuds. But again, I've said this on the show before, the new music coming out of her, I never was a huge fan of hers, but to me, it's just cheap, and she's losing her luster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, let's move along. After 20 engagements, I have to congratulate my former guest co-host on this show, Danielle Staub, for her nuptials. Congrats, girl.
Did she get married?
She did, yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And it's going to be on the show. There's still rumors that she's a friend of, but apparently she's on every episode again. Like, I don't get it, but okay.
Wow. Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah, and then there's apparently a tiff. They keep using this word in quotes, a tiff between Danielle and Margaret the evening before the wedding or the day of the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's always drama with Danielle. Would it be surprised?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Danielle being on New Jersey and this whole friend of nonsense in this business?
Well, I mean, I get the friend of thing. I mean, that's just a matter of negotiations between the artists, excuse me. What's the word? Not the talent. I mean, you know, whatever. There's two parties. You know, I mean, I think the friend of is just a matter of, you know, how they're working out the pay scale and the time and their commitment to having that person featured, you know? So, I mean, you know, that makes sense to me. I mean, obviously it's better to be a regular than to be a friend of, but you know, I mean, obviously I'd rather be a friend of than not on the show at all.
Right.
Unless I don't want to be on the show, in which case it wouldn't be relevant. But I mean, you know, with Danielle, she's so thirsty for it, you know? I mean, look, I get that. I mean, I'm not criticizing her for that, but I'm not judging her for that, but I am criticizing her for that because it takes down her status on the show, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I was very confused this whole last season. Like, you know, Siggy was so off the rails bonkers. I didn't know I used to like Siggy. I didn't know what she was going through. And, like, I love Dolores, but I don't know why Dolores stood by Siggy through all of that. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of a dumpster fire this season. I mean, I wasn't bored, so that's good.
Right. Well, that's the most positive thing to come out of it was that
as opposed to Beverly Hills this season, which was unwatchably boring.
Exactly. And that's the thing. They order too many of these episodes. I think they had 14 for New Jersey, and it was 14 well-paced shows, in my opinion. And now with Beverly Hills, it was, 25 weeks of who's friends with who?
Mm.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I
mean, was it really 25?
I think it was 23, but who's counting? And then now, they're even doing, at the time of the show, they haven't aired it yet, but they're going to be doing a Secrets Revealed. Why? Like, what could possibly be left on the cutting room floor at this point?
When I realized there was a third part of that reunion coming, I was just like, me.
I know that's, I never used to do this with Beverly Hills, but like I will scrub through and look at the time, you know, like I'll pull up like on the DVR, like how much longer is this? Like, where are we going with this? Certain things didn't get to play out that I wanted to see play out.
Between
Camille and Erica, Andy was like, oh, we're going to put a hold on that. And then she left. And so we never got that again. And then we had to hear about Vanderpump Dogs. So I'm like, you know, come on. So that drove me crazy. And that was about the only thing left. And then, you know, the way she wrapped everything up so quickly, Camille, in that hallway, that kind of, like, left any type of intrigue as to what could happen next out the window. So, yeah, I don't know. I hate to grade them, you know. I mean, not every show is going to be a stellar season, but this one is in a long list of tough seasons of Housewives, I'd say, in the last year to watch.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we're spoiled, but that's how I feel.
I don't think we're spoiled, honestly. I think we're starved. I think our standards get lower and lower, and they just find a way to disappoint us still.
I like the way you think. Because, yeah, I'm trying to keep it positive, but I like the way you think, because that's really true. Truly honest. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about you. One thing I really know about you is that you're famous for your one-man shows. I want to get into all of it. I want to hear about just your projects from Bad with Money and Patty Issues. You're just all over New York. Just give me a little bit of a highlight of all that you do.
Well, for many years, I was a director in theater and cabaret. And then I sort of paused that for a few years. Over the last few years, I've been writing and performing. I have two one-man shows, Patty Issues and Bad with Money. Patty Issues is a play on daddy issues. It's about how my obsession with Patty LuPone and later in my life, my relationship with Patty LuPone, how those things kind of gave me a perspective on my relationship with my father, which is really fucked up. Mm. And Bad with Money is just about my being up in how I deal with money and all the crazy things I have done in the course of my life, from, you know, prostitution and stealing and just all kinds of scrambling to accommodate the way that I'm so addicted to spending money.
You've lived a full life.
A full life. And so over the last few years, with those two shows, I started actually writing a lot of stuff for different magazines and TV recaps and stuff like that. And I also started acting, because I'd really my whole adult life just been directing. And now I'm also directing again, too. I'm directing Countess Luann's cabaret show. Mm-hmm. And I'm directing a show called Liza 79 at Joe's Pub in New York also. And so I'm sort of I'm doing it all at the moment, which is probably why I'm so tired. But it's a good year.
Yeah, it sounds like business is hot right now. So good for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm always envious of New York lifestyles. Like, I've been out here way too long. And anyway, it's the worst kept secret that I want to be in New York and all this stuff. But I'm just my career right now is here. But I'm envious of that lifestyle. And you've got the hustle going and everything. So good for you.
I mean, I'm envious. Look, I was born in New York and I grew up in L.A. And my whole childhood, all I wanted to do was get back to New York. And I came to New York right after college. So I've been here for almost 20 years now. And, you know, I appreciate the L.A. lifestyle. I hated it as a kid. But mm-hmm. now I go back to visit my family, and it's so much more peaceful and so much more sane and less anxious. And, you know, it's a very comfortable life in L.A. You never have anybody's armpit in your face.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But you mentioned the show Countess and Friends, Lindell Subs, hashtag Countess and Friends. Now, I connected
Thank
with you,
you
as a through Twitter as a recommendation through Shara Weiss, who's a friend of the show. And I connected the dots and was like, I wanted to have you on just to chat and shoot the show. But then I got tickets to the show and I was like, wait, why don't we just do a show? Like, this is the perfect timing. It's kismet that we have you on. So I ran into the show last week. Just want to say hey, put a face to a name. And I'm glad we got this on the books.
Me too.
So tell me about this show and the origin of the show. We're going to see a little bit in The Real Housewives of New York coming up, but really for you, how did all of this come to be?
Well, like I said, I've been directing cabaret for years and years. Relative to the world of cabaret, I've been more successful as a cabaret director than as a theater director. So I'm, you know, within the small world of cabaret, I'm kind of known, at least in our generation, you know, of directors. And a friend of mine recommended me. Her father is friends with Luann and her ex-husband, the Count. And he knew that she was interested in at some point maybe doing something. And so he had connected us. This is like 5 years ago. And we didn't get to meet. We were supposed to all have drinks and it didn't work out. And then Luann and I would just sort of email once in a while. And it finally, I don't know, like a year and a half ago, she suddenly really got it in her craw to just do it. And she reached out to me and we just started having phone calls and then meetings and putting it together, you know. And with everything that she went through this year, it was, I think with both things, I think when she got divorced, when she got married and divorced, this kind of went on hold for a second. And then when she got arrested and went to rehab, you know, there was a moment there where it was like, well, the cabaret has to wait, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think what actually wound up happening was that she had the bravery and the vision to see this as something she could throw herself into that would pull her out of the, you know, the feeling like a failure. You know, I think she managed to find something she could have a triumph with coming out of all that darkness, you know, and I think it's become a wonderful time for her and it's been really exciting to be a part of it.
I really admire her for just doing it and really putting her full self into it and making something out of it, like out of just the whole scenario. And there was so much buzz in that room. Granted, I haven't been to the New York show, so I've been to the LA show, which is a totally different crowd. I mean, these people were talking through half the whole show, which was driving me crazy. But there's such a buzz around her right now. I think it couldn't have been better timing for not only for like her public perception, but even for her. I think this is like her moment. This really,
I feel that way too.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of her on the show. I'm not shading her, but anyway, I enjoy her so much. With this question, I want to know what's it like to really like hang out with her and get to know her, like versus like how she's perceived in TV or on TV.
You know, I find her to be exactly the way I thought she'd be, the way she seemed to be on the show, and just like, you know, very hilarious and smart and, you know, kind of a diva in the good, enjoyable ways and with a good sense of humor about herself and, you know, just like a great gal. I mean, I've had the greatest time working with her. We've become really good friends.
I got such a kick out of her, especially she would walk by our table in these different outfits, like every 20 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
And just like fully lit up, big smile. Like she was so into it. I have to say, like, it was great. The difference between the LA show, because I reviewed that on here a little bit, and the New York show, I know there are different personalities that floated in and out. Just want to touch upon a little bit of that.
Well, it's totally different to every show. I mean, the LA shows were two on the same night, so we got away with using the same guest stars. But every single, look, right now we have 11 shows coming up in New York between now and the end of June, and every single one is different guest stars.
Okay. Got it. So
I mean, that's part of what my job is like sort of being the ringleader in that fucking circus.
Yeah, that has to be a pain in the ass to schedule around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun, you know, because it's a really great variety of people. And it's so cool how such a diverse, eclectic group of people are fans of hers and want to be involved in her show. And it's sort of like just the snowball of like good energy, you know.
Right. So you're going to be appearing on Real Housewives of New York this coming week. What was that like? What was that experience like?
You know, it's funny. Like, at first I was very self-conscious being in front of the camera. And then I think I just kind of stopped noticing they were there, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, how scaled down is the crew? Like, what do you got, two cameras, three cameras, and sound?
It depends. I mean, when it was like, you know, like the thing you're going to see this week when it's me and Luann alone having a meeting at a bar, whatever we were at, rooftop thingy. I think it was three cameras. It might have been four. I mean, even when there's only three cameras, it seems like there's like at least like 10 or 11 people there or something.
Right.
You know, but then when it's more of them at once, it's even more cameras and more crew and more everybody.
Right, I imagine so. Yeah, well, that's great. Well, take a look, folks, at this week's episode of Real Housewives of New York, where you can see Ben having the early conversations about this cabaret show with Luann herself. Who are your inspirations?
Patti LuPone.
I figure. What type of role has she played in your life before and after your relationship?
Well, I think... she appealed to me from an early age in her persona, most specifically as Evita, but it's something that carries on in the rest of her performances, which is there's a fierceness. I mean, you know, everyone says fierce nowadays is like fabulous or whatever, yeah, you know, yeah. But she's ferocious. I mean, you know, Patti is... There's an electric energy, and you feel that she would bite somebody's head off, and you know it's like there's such a fire of her, and you know that's why she was good in these roles like Eva Peron and in Sweeney Todd and in Gypsy, and you know these characters with such rage and power, and I think that I had a difficult childhood, and I think that that appealed to me. I think I felt empowered. Mm-hmm. By relating to her, you know, and by the same token, I had a dramatic home life. My father was kind of like that. And so I think that I needed something like that to hold my attention, you know, something that was more mild mannered. I wasn't enough to distract me from the drama in my house. But Patti LuPone, with her sort of operatic heights, that could actually hold me and take me away from reality, you know? Mm. It's been an amazing growing experience to have worshipped her all my life and then get to work with her and then get to know her and be friends with her. And, you know, I mean, Patti is a lot in person the way I imagined she would be. I mean, I've actually found that about many people. But she's also a person. She's not, you know, Patti's more interested in talking about politics or restaurants or, you know, a show she saw than she is in talking about, like, you know, Evita or Sweeney Todd or,
right,
or
right.
Gypsy, you know, or songs on her albums, you know, but it's like, I can't really let go of that. I mean, to me, she'll always be, you know, there's a Patti LuPone that's with me all day, every day. That's her voice, you know, and it doesn't right. matter if I'm listening to her or not. That's just like a thing in my head, you know. I was at a dinner party where we read a scene from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf around the table, and I was Martha. And everybody was like, oh, my God, it's like hearing Patti play Martha. And I was not doing Patti. I was just right. playing the part through my own eyes, but that comes out as Patti, you know.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that. You know, I gotta say, I admire your career and all that you've created and produced over the years, but I see you're doing some ranting yourself over on the TV Party app, the yeah. Roma Lowdown. Tell us a little bit about this.
It's this new app that so fans can interact with each other.
I downloaded it. I watched it. I watched all your stuff. I got it.
Oh, thank you. It's for people. I mean, I'm one aspect of it is people like me doing these kind of shows, you know. But the most of it, I think, is more like an interactive community of fans, and they can interact with each other. They can interact with people like me. I think the idea then is for there to be more actual like TV insiders and cast members and stuff on the, you know, that they can have interactions with. They approached me about doing this, and I was so thrilled because I've written a lot of recaps of different shows over the years, but I hadn't done anything video, you know, or even, I mean, I'd been on people's podcasts as a guest, but I'd never had my own thing. And so I was excited to do it. And, you know, it's fun to be off the cuff like that rather than writing a piece.
Right, right. Yeah, I wrote some recaps. I prefer to just like go off the cuff like that. And even with the rants too, like it just works out better for me. You know, we're talkers. You know, there's like, I think there's like two different types of people, but we're talkers and it's just flows better. But I kind of miss doing a little bit of the recaps, but man, that's like no joke. Those recaps can take a lot longer than putting together a podcast. Just saying. Well, thank you for your time. You know, what anything you want to promote? Where can people find you? What's good?
Follow me on all the socials, Ben Rimmelauer, everywhere.
Perfect. Very good. Thank you for coming on and ranting with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Same here. So I thank you for coming on. And folks, hang out for a minute. We'll be back in a moment with Stephanie Johnson from Love at First Flight. My thanks to Ben Rimmelauer.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
Let the ranting continue. I am joined by Stephanie Johnson, CEO and founder of Singles and the City. She's a host and she's appeared over on Lifetime's Love at First Flight. Welcome to the rants.
Thank you, Grant. Thanks so much for having me tonight.
My pleasure. I'm really kind of pumped to talk to you. I feel like you're like, you know, we just kind of connected before the show and had a good time before we hit record. So I'm like, this is going to be a good one.
I'm excited.
So let's talk about a few things going on. I want to get your take before we hear more about your projects and your life. Let's get your take on a few things. I understand you're an OC fan. So that's
good. I am. Real Housewives of Orange County all day.
Season 13 is in production currently. Season 12 was arguably a very tough watch. How did you feel about the last season?
Ooh, season 12 I didn't enjoy it that much. It was just way too much arguing going on, and there wasn't much synergy between the ladies. You know what I mean?
It was dark. It was dark.
Yeah, like, it was pretty dark. Like Shannon's got a lot going on. I was just like, where's the fun? And you know, where's everyone separated? I was like, ugh. Looking forward to brighter days ahead.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Kelly Dodd was speaking over on SiriusXM on Jeff Lewis Live. First of all, I don't know how Jeff Lewis has time to do a live show.
I did not know he had a live show. I'm like, whoa, 13th job. Let's go get it.
Yeah, really? Good for him. Definitely a friend of Andy, so it makes sense. So
Uncle Andy.
Yeah, a little shade. Heather Dubrow came up. And this is a name I haven't heard of in a minute. And I was a big fan of Heather. Then I fell off with Heather when I heard how difficult she was and when I was getting a little tired of the attitude, the Miss Fancy Pants attitude. And then I came to appreciate her again towards the end. How do you feel about Heather Dubrow in general?
In general, I think Heather is, you know, I'm trying to think what I would say. I respect Heather. I don't think I'd be friends with her in real life because she just brings too much of a kind of a negative Nancy vibe from what I've seen on TV. But I respect her as a mother. I respect her as a businesswoman and the wife of a very important plastic surgeon. So there's that. I think she prioritizes her family, which I think is great. But I don't think she needs to do the show. And I think she needs to focus on the kids.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's
maybe
very
it'll
good.
Less stress for her. You know, just do what she does best, which is be an amazing mom.
Well, I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
And so Heather apparently yelled and disrespected the crew and told people to get the boom out of her face and was really like, you know, bitchy towards them. And I can see this, but it's disappointing. No one ever wants to hear this of someone. But I mean, you know, and I know that it is all too common.
Yeah. It is all too common. And, you know, in her defense, I've done reality TV. Could have been a bad day. Maybe someone stepped on her foot. You know, maybe she's mad at Terry or one of the kids. I don't know. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, right?
Right.
But, you know, again, it's very, very possible and very, very common, unfortunately.
Right, right. Well, going back to Kelly, I talked about it on this show. Kelly Dodd, early in the season of production, season 13, she tweeted that Vicky was a pig. And And this came up, of course, in the interview. And, you know, Kelly couldn't say too much because they said there was going to be a dress on the show. But okay. She did say that she talked about how Vicky went on a double date with her boyfriend and then Kelly's ex-husband and Kelly's ex-husband's new girlfriend and didn't tell Kelly.
Ooh.
So a little messy. Ooh.
Damn. Yeah, that's ultimate girlfriend code. Like, if I know you within two or three people, I would send you a text. You know what I mean? Like, that circle's way too close. I would never.
Yeah, I think at least, like, even, like, if you wanted to skirt around it and it was like, I'm doing this anyway, at least the night of, just send a text, like, FYI, heads up, we're going out.
Yeah, like, don't, yeah, like, no worries, it's just ice cream, eat something. Don't let me find out through the blog. My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, Kelly lost her mind as usual. I hope. I can only hope. I mean, I can hear it now. Like, she's not going to be okay with it. But
I can see her face with that beautiful nude lipstick she's always wearing. Like, just like, mouth is just like, ah, I love it.
I can
it's
see
the best
her.
Angry faces.
Oh, those expressions. The expressions are something else. She's going to sit across from Tamara, and Tamara's going to say, once again, that's Vicky. That's how Vicky operates. Like, lover or hater. You know, I mean, I love Vicky, but I see her. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I see all
of her. Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure. Vicky, I'll say this. Vicky is my favorite housewife in Orange County. She just is. I just love that she owns it most of the time. She's
most
just
of the time,
arrogantly
yeah.
who she is. She really doesn't care about anyone. I love that. I'm like, just be you, man.
I've heard
that's what she's all about.
I've heard she's difficult too. But you know what though? She's the original, and if anyone can be, I can understand it being her.
Exactly. So, day ones for sure.
Yeah, day one.
So yeah.
Kelly says that season 13 is going to be, quote, full of comedy, unquote. And she says there's very little fighting and it's different from any other season. I'm wondering if this is Real Housewives taking a turn where it's like, how many more foreclosures, dramas, cheating, divorces, like how many more things can play out where you're going to pivot? And I'm wondering if this is like a test, like get the original show to test new waters. What do you think?
I don't know if I'm going to, I mean, geez, I guess we'll give it a try. We have no choice, but I like where this was going. I mean, that's why we watch reality TV. It's interesting. I like to see you guys yell over champagne. It's fun. What are we laughing about now?
That's true. I don't mind like a little laughter here and there, but it does get silly. But
this can't be Comedy Central now. Like, no, it can't be that much fun.
That's true.
No, you know?
Being a Dallas girl, have you watched Real Housewives of Dallas?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, this is my number one. So tell me why it's unfortunate.
It is just the most, I think the portrayal is just so over the top. Number one, number two, just the ladies. I'm like, I've never met people like this in my entire life. Is this really my town? it's just so confusing and it's just completely over the top. And I think extremely boring. Honestly,
oh, really. See, season one was a tough
one. Most
watch.
Boring franchise.
Oh, but I
yeah,
think
season two was tough.
Season two, I enjoyed every minute. So I think
I can do season two.
Ooh, this is
oh
a good
God.
Rant. Though. This
just
is
like.
I don't know.
I saw about two or three episodes. I couldn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. But you know what? You know what? I respect it because, you know, that's your area. That's where you live. Like, you know what I mean? I get it where you'd be like, ooh. Because a long time ago, there was a show called Game of Crowns on Bravo. And it was filmed in neighborhoods that I lived near. And it was like literally like a walking distance neighborhood. And it was with groups of women that were representing the area that we lived in horribly. And so I rejected the show. And so I can understand where you're like, who are these women? This is not accurate.
Do you understand? I'm just like, oh, wow. Okay. So, okay. I go there all the time. This is never, I guess it's weird. I live there and I'm just like, okay, this is so super extra.
So
whatevs,
extra.
Andy, whatevs.
You know, the thing I'll say with to Dallas that ties it back to OC is for me, I always was entertained by Dallas. So if I could be entertained by OC again, I'm on board. So I'm hoping and praying that we're for something good.
Crossing fingers as we speak. I'm with you on that. There's always hope for next year, next season.
Yeah, that's true. It's like sports. It's true. Switching gears over to Scarlett Johansson, who wore a gown at the Met Ball. Harvey Weinstein's estranged wife, Georgina Chapman. She has that Marquesa dress. Marquesa, is that correct? Mm-hmm. The dress line. So Scarlett Johansson wore this gown from the line. And, you know, this is the first time that a Marquesa gown has been worn on a red carpet. So, of course, it's going to make a statement. You know, the whole Harvey scandal, you can't hide from it.
Exactly.
I kind of felt bad. Georgina, she made a statement and she was like, my life and my children's lives are basically, I'm paraphrasing, she's like, my life and my children's lives are basically question marks. Like, I don't know what is going to happen to us. So I really feel for this girl.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, wearing a gown, I don't think that anyone, especially even Georgina, should have to pay the price for her estranged husband's actions.
Grant, I'm with you 100%. This had nothing to do with Harvey. The girl was a fashion designer before, you know, like.
Well, nothing to do with her as the wife.
Yeah. Moving forward, like, that's nothing. No, she's got to make money and be out here and do her job. And she makes gowns and someone wants to wear it. They should wear it wherever they want. You know, like, give her a break. She's not the one on trial here.
People would argue, though, that those gowns were enforced to be worn through Harvey by his stars in his movies to give his wife business. And because of that, they really made Marquesa a name in dresses and on red carpets. So, like, because of that implementation through Harvey. But at the same time, like, if she's a talented designer, let it go.
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, how many people have done that in different areas of, you know one person, you force all your friends to, it's the same thing. So no, you can't put the two. If she was still married to him, that would be a different story. She was standing by him. That's like a big no for me. But the fact that she's moved on with her life and she's proceeding divorce and this and that, let the girl live.
The one thing I will tell her, if she wants to just get around all this, just keep doing what you're doing and just rebrand. Just get another name. Like, that's the first thing I would do. They're doing that with the Weinstein Company. Why can't she do that with her own dress line or whatever she does?
That's a very good suggestion. Rebrand. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep at it.
Well, Anna Wintour would agree with us. She was on Colbert, and she said that, you know, she doesn't believe that she should be held accountable for her ex-husband's or soon-to-be ex-husband's behavior. And I think what more of an endorsement do you need?
Yeah. She's suffered enough, unfortunately.
I agree. On a side note, NeNe wore a Marquesa dress to the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion.
Most recent one?
Yeah.
And apparently, I didn't know that was Marquesa.
She, Wendy Williams, talked about this. And so this is how I know it's true, or at least I hope.
Aunt Wendy, stop it.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of NeNe, but I will listen to Wendy. NeNe apparently asked for a gown to wear to this reunion from Marquesa, because that's like her go-to. And they didn't want, this is all alleged, but they apparently did not want their brand mixed up with Housewives, which I can understand. NeNe was venomous at that reunion.
Oh my gosh.
So she went out and bought one herself and wore it.
Oh my God. No, I'm in my head. I saw the reunion. I'm trying in my head, trying to think about what she had on. That's insane. It was that big of, geez. Yeah. This is my first time hearing of this.
This is all alleged, so no one come after me. But what's not alleged is that she wore like a red, like lace type gown. It was like real true red. It was an attractive gown.
I cannot remember right now. All I remember is like Kenya Moore's bright yellow. That's all that I see in my head.
Yeah.
So I've got to go back and see that one. But wow, all that happened? That's insane.
Yeah. Everything comes back to Housewives. Like, here we are talking about Scarlett Johansson.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, it's kind of all back to, like, I don't care what franchise. Some people just don't want to. It's just way too much going on constantly, which understood. But I love it. It's great TV.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. So let's talk about, like, working in TV, reality TV, or talking with you. Let's talk about Love at First Flight. I want to hear about, you know, the decision you made to just go for it and do it.
Yeah. Well, Kathleen reached out to me on Instagram, actually, quite some time ago. I applied literally on a whim of just like, it's season one. The application was so elementary. I'm like, this isn't even a real show. It's probably a spam bot. And lo and behold, it was a real show. And I decided to go on it. So for love, to be honest, not so much thinking I was going to meet the love of my life, but I'm totally an open person as far as documenting new experiences. The show kind of goes right hand in hand with my business, Singles in the City. And yeah. I'm like, this will be a wonderful documentary for me personally. And if, in fact, I magically fall for someone, that's even the icing on the cake. But I'm so forward just looking to meet a really great person to be friends with. So the show was great. It's over now. I think it ran for about 8 weeks. It was fantastic. And the guy and I were one of the quote unquote successful couples. We didn't get married, but we did decide to date off camera in real life. And that was quite some time ago. So we're not together anymore, but really good friends and business partners. So it worked out. I thought it was great. Mission accomplished.
I think you made like a really like smart, sensible decision. You were both like, yeah, let's just keep rolling with this and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when these shows get launched, like you said, like originally when you applied, it was super like, you know, like an amateur application. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Age, sex, location. I'm like, okay. What?
It takes like a long time to get a show off the ground. So what was the timeline from when you heard about it to when you got into production? Like, these things go on for like,
oh my gosh,
like years.
It was a good year and a half. Yeah, it was like a good year and a half.
I believe
I was like a totally different person when I applied to when first I was like, oh, I hope if it's real, I hope I get to go and travel the world. And then by the time they were like, we want you to meet producers or, you know, casting in LA, I was like, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of the biggest deal of my life for work. Like, business wise, it's worked for me. You know, I had all these other, because I had changed and developed and work had changed. So it took about a year and a half.
Wow.
Long story short.
Yeah, I believe it. It takes a long time to get these shows off the ground. And then they hold on to them. You do production, and then it's like, okay, well, when is this airing?
Like, exactly. We wrapped up. We were like, so am I going to be married in real life by the time it airs? Am I gonna look weird? Or like, what's happening here? So fortunately, that's my first time doing reality TV with a brand new show. So I was like, okay, I think it happened in decent. I think it was like 3 or 4 months. From wrapping up to airing on TV.
Oh, that's actually good turnaround, because most shows take like,
okay.
Some shows, I know I was covering one show over here for the show on A&E, Undercover High, and that was like a full year, like to the month, basically. And I was like, that's a long time to hold on to something like that. And to have to, you know, like you can't speak to certain things until the show airs. You know, it's kind of like taxing and like annoying.
Exactly. Yeah. We're like, okay, so we're not together. Like, we had just decided on not like being together in real life, like maybe a month after the show, you know, we wrapped up the show. And of course, producers are like, okay, you guys, don't be out with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah, we're like, what? Oh,
jeez. I know, like, you're going to live.
Okay.
Can you live?
Yeah, we have to live our lives. Valentine's Day is coming up. So we both survived.
When
it was long and draining.
When you learn the concept of this show, and of course the way they pitch it is like, you know, you're all going to be led to the altar where you'll be making a life-changing decision to get married. Like, did you roll your eyes initially, or were you like, okay, let's just see what happens? Or were you like, well, that's not going to happen? Like, you know, how did you feel?
Grant, eyes rolled the entire time, 100% honest with everyone involved, producers, audition, the whole thing. Like, listen, I don't know nothing about a marriage. All I can promise you, okay, is that I will probably walk away with a great friend. I'm the friendliest person ever. You know, this guy could have one eyeball in the middle of his head. I'm going to be nice to him, and we're going to travel the world. It's called free travel, okay? I'm going to have a ball. I am. So
Stephanie,
that was my
thank you for being so honest with me with that. Because, you know, another answer would have been like, well, I'm really open to whatever and I trusted the show. But, you know, you're like, you know what? No, we're here for an opportunity. This is a branding opportunity for me. And, you know, if I meet someone great, we'll have fun on a trip. And I love that.
Grant, and dude, it's like, I think people just, because of the industry that I'm in, I just want people to be like, let me be honest with you. This is not a fairy tale. These are cameras. This is not a, I haven't watched reality TV since I was, what, 14, 15? Like, I'm an expert. I know what happens. So you have to be strategic. It's TV, but like, no, you don't take an opportunity or a platform and just try to quote unquote fall in love. That's stupid, in my opinion. Personally stupid. No.
How do you
And that's my rant for the evening.
You're in the right place. Look at that. Grant's rants. I love it. Someone like myself who wants to do any type of reality thing, not necessarily a game show, but I want to do, not that this was, but in general, like, I want to do like a docu-follow show. Like, you know, would you recommend it? Would you shy away from it? What do you think?
I stick to being strategic and know exactly what you're getting yourself into. There's no point in complaining about edits or that you look crazy. It's reality TV. You signed your life away. So you can go in with that mindset. I say, kill it. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I'm all for like an opportunity like you, you know? Like,
and I got super lucky. Yeah, I got super lucky because I had the most incredible producers, the editing. Our entire team was just, we still talk today in group chat. Like, it was incredible. The best 8 people I've ever met in my life.
That's awesome.
The most fun. I got super, super lucky.
Good for you. Yeah, that's lucky and rare. So good for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Singles and the City. It's described as a wellness community designed for singles. Healthy attracts healthy, and like it just makes sense. So tell me about this. You're in a lot of different cities. You've got the presence out there. You're working hard. Tell us about it.
Okay, so Singles in the City is my wellness company. I've been in business 4 years. I am someone that is super self-aware, and I just love to spread that self-awareness everywhere that I go. And I just found out that single people, I used to have like meetups and date nights and all this stuff for singles in all these cities. And at the end of the day, they come to me and they're like, oh, I'm single, or it didn't work out, or I didn't listen to this red flag. And I'm like, whoa, why are we like so pressed about being in relationships and getting married, and we're not fixing all the crap that's inside of ourselves? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just found it my duty to get resources together and make sure that every single person that comes to my events or that's part of my company is totally prepared for cleaning out themselves before they try to pass on to someone else. And I think you can online date, you can go on a reality TV show, you can do all these different things. But if you don't know who you are, you're not comfortable with that, and you're not trying to be your best self now without someone else's help, then you're going to be screwed either way. So let me help you not be on a therapist couch.
Super smart for the times we live in. Like, just makes sense. I mean, everybody's on these apps.
Just trying to help your brain.
It's like, everyone's on these apps. Like, everyone's looking for something, and no one's doing the work. Like, on themselves. Like, so you're right.
Clean your own house, and then you can move on. And then two healthy people will be attracted to each other, and then you have a healthy relationship. But
makes sense.
Why are two broken people trying to make something happen? We both are screwed up. No, right. It's not going to work.
And what cities can folks find this?
Folks can find me in the beautiful, beautiful city of LA. I'm in Detroit. I'm in Chicago, Dallas, and Austin. Is that five?
Yeah, that's all of them. That's all the ones I have here. Yeah, that's great.
Offer right now. Yeah. And growing, of course. My goal is to be in every major city ever. So, growing.
You're on your way. I mean, that's an impressive list. I mean, joke.
Thanks so much.
No joke. So, in the middle of all this, I read a lot about you, and I learned, that you really are a self-made woman. But at one point in 2015, you had to rebuild, and it seemed to have lost a lot. So, how do you maintain a business and then rebuild your life? Like, I admire you. I do.
Yeah. Thank you, Grant. Thank you. So, I mean, I lost my job, my corporate job, and had to kind of float off Singles in the City when it was just a tiny baby. And I had to take it for the team. That's what I call it. I had to eat the cake. I didn't try to get out of it easy. I didn't try to get a loan. I just continued to work. I didn't borrow money. I slept on couches. I walked to some events. I lifted. I did what I had to do to continue building, even though it was uncomfortable. And I think that's where people kind of get off track and make their dry season or their season of life lost longer than what it should be, because you're not taking the chunks as it comes. Life's not going to be easy. Everything's not always going to be handed to you. And you got to just learn that dark days will come. Like, what are you going to do? Get deeper into the darkness, or just like know at the end of the light there's a tunnel, but you got to keep walking towards the tunnel.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And literally, I think a year after that, the show reached out, and then it happened. And even before the show, went on and whatnot, doors just began to open and cities began to open and people were finding me. And I just kept walking until my life was better than it was before. And it's literally been 2 years.
It really is like the darkest before the dawn. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, that's exactly what my life was. And I'm like, is there anything worse than this?
I've been in positions like that. And like right now, I wouldn't say I'm in a dark place at the moment, but like my mantra, probably I'd say like the last month or so, has just been keep going.
That's what I said.
Keep going. Like, I've got a lot on my mind, and I just gotta keep rolling. I'm not gonna stop and think about it. I just gotta keep going. So
take every day and just do it 24 hours at a time. Don't think about next month or next week. Literally one day. Just let me finish 24 hours whole and healthy as possible and mentally sane, and then I'll move on to Monday. That's how I live my life.
Amen. Amen.
So
in the middle of all this, there's now a YouTube channel, Behind the Scenes with Oso Stephanie.
Oh, my God.
What's going on over there?
There's that. So back in the day, I'm 31. Back in the day, I went to Michigan State University. I was big with production, and I was in everyone's commercials and thought I wanted to be a broadcast journalist. Did all this stuff on TV and whatnot, small TV. And when I did the show, I messed around, Grant, and got bit by the production bug. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I can't get enough of the camera. So yeah. I'm finding myself, I got a team together and I love to eat. My family's from Suriname, South America. I spend all of my money usually on food and great restaurants, fine dining. So I've just taken the video camera and document my adventures meeting the chef or the people that have opened these wonderful establishments or at the spa. And I'm just being myself. And I'm just kind of also advertising the company that I'm working with. I'm a big marketer and I love scratching back. So it's like, hey, look at this amazing new spa that you opened in Plano. You should come on down. I'm like, getting my facial, you know, and they get new clients. I get to enjoy the services and promote and be on TV. So, well, YouTube TV for now. So that's behind the scenes with Also Stephanie. And it documents me traveling to these five cities every month for work. That's what I do.
Well, it sounds like you've got a perfect setup for that. Like the lifestyle works for it. It keeps it exciting and it keeps it fresh. So good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, make sure that you guys check out that channel. Again, it's Behind the Scenes with Also Stephanie. And if you want to watch her on Love at First Flight, it's available on demand and on the Lifetime app. So there you go.
Yes. And Hulu.
Oh, and Hulu, and even better, more mainstream than that. So that's great. So thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. And hey, if you are in LA on June 30th, or you find yourself around, I'm having a live show, and I would love for you to come. And I'm inviting everybody.
So exciting. I think I might be there at the end of the month. Very exciting, Grant.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're
my vote.
You have a place to hang out and a good show, so if you want to come by. Mm-hmm. And everyone's invited, like I always say, except Barbara Walters. I will have a feud with her till the end of time. But tickets go on sale. I know it's random, but there's a long story there.
No judgment. No judgment.
Tickets go on sale May 15th, so they're probably ready for you to pick up. And, you know, they're only like $5. So everyone, check it out. If it's on all my social media, you guys can find a way to find those tickets. And I appreciate it. And Stephanie, thank you for coming out and ranting with us. This was great.
Thank you. This was great. You have wonderful energy, beautiful soul. I'm so happy for you, and I look forward to hanging out soon.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Same here. Yeah. Next time you're in LA, let's hang out.
I got you. Yes, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. All right. I love you for listening. We'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.